flaws, extraneous flaws, fundamental flaw. Does it affect them? I gave an example last time, tikkun bekilkul, and other such definitions or not. What are we going to say about kamal v'drabmine? We'll get back to that. What are we going to say about trade rabba? All those issues. And then comes the issue which we're now trying to pin down, but there's a relationship between them potentially, and that is, what is melach shen tzricha l'gufa? Simply just describe the case of melach shen tzricha l'gufa. That becomes difficult. In some cases, clearly there's going to be a correlation between these two issues. A certain definition of melach shen tzricha l'gufa is going to be more or less compelling as a chisaron in the actual shem melacha. Others, can be an open question, or likely they're going to be just extraneous machshava problems. But we have to deal with the questions separately. In terms of the broader issue, this Rabbon, before we get into the details, in addition to the question of the flaw, there's also this bigger question of simply, whether or not Melach Shen Tzricha L'Gufa falls into a larger other category. So I mentioned this with regard to Shitas Chidush Aran and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph and the Tosfos Rid, who in different places emphasize that Melach Shen Tzricha L'Gufa may not be chashuv. It's a lack of chashivos. That would be an important perspective. Likewise, there may be a perspective out there which believes that Melach Shen Tzricha L'Gufa is a problem of shelo kederach. Again, it's difficult to know in both of these cases whether lo chashuv or lo kederach is just a way of establishing something else. In other words, again, it's to use terminology that we're just using. It's the narrow focus, but it isn't really limited to that. If something is shelo kederach or something is lo chashuv, so that's an indication that it's a negative malacha or that it's a byproduct malacha rather than an ikar malacha. But the fact is that the Rishonim, in some cases, uses these expressions which may allow us to consider that they meant it directly. That the chisaron of melach shen tzricha l'gufa, not just the definition of melach shen tzricha l'gufa, which really is about something else, but the actual chisaron of melach shen tzricha l'gufa is related to these questions. So in terms of chashuv ein chashuv, I said you have Tosfos Rid, you have the Chidush Aran, a few other formulations. And here and there we have also formulations about shelo kederach. So if it doesn't just mean, this is the normal way that this malacha is done, and therefore it's what defines the shem malacha, but rather, it's more like kelach aryad, shelo kederach, meaning it's like a pure malachas machshavas in its own right, so that would be very, very important. It would put malach shem tzricha l'gufa together with kelach aryad, and it would again imply not a chisaron of the shem malacha so much as, again, derach ha-malacha. Where we find that is in the Rabbeinu Gershom in Krisos, and in Tosas on Kuf Mem Aleph Amadeus in Shabbos, and here and there it crops up other places too. In Sugya in Krisos, it comes up on the Chof Amadeus. Right, the Gemara here, as we know, we've been focusing in this Gemara in Krisos Chof Amud Beis on the so-called Dov Sheinu Miskaven case. But there's another case in the Gemara. Right, the case that we've been discussing previously is Niskaven Lichbos V'Huvaru Me'Aleyan. But what about the case of Chote G'Cholim Mishabes L'Hischamin Bahem V'Huvaru Me'Aleyan? That's an interesting case, too. The fellow is interested in heat, in warming himself up, not in fire. And he's chotev gecholim, he stokes the coals, and the stoking of the coals produces heat, but first it produces, or simultaneously produces, a flame. So the Gemara says, these are the final words of the fourth parak of Krisus. Hod etan dechayiv, kesav relach shen etzricha legufa chayiv, alei. So the question is, why is Chote G'cholim, why is that a Melach Shen Tzricha L'Gufa? Why is that a Melach Shen Tzricha L'Gufa? So Rashi says, Kegon Zeh She'eno Tzarech Lahaviron El Lishchane. Mikol Makom Yodea Haya Sheiz Baru. So Rashi basically formulates it as like a psikresha de la Michalem, in a way, but focusing on the fact that the malacha, or the tachlis of malacha is the flame. The tachlis of malacha of habara is the flame normally, and not the heat. He's not really interested. The malacha is the fire, and he's not interested in the fire. He's really interested in the heat. But Rashi doesn't want to make it too stark, because otherwise it would sound an awful lot like in a miskave. Okay, the irony in this Gemara is that the case that the Gemara calls in a miskave, all the Rishonim turned into a tzvichel gufa, right? The first case. And the second case, which is admittedly, right, acknowledged case of ain tzvichel gufa, one could really argue is really in a miskave. Right. Anyways, Rashi doesn't want to make a too almanas kenas, not the havale miskave. He doesn't say that you're not interested in the havara. Rashi basically seems to be saying that the havara l'shem chom l'shem chimum is ein tzricha l'gufa. Havara l'shem eish, that's tzricha l'gufa. Okay. But both of them, he's interested in havara. One could have said he's not interested in havara at all. He's interested in the chimum. Okay. In any case, that's Rashi. Rabbi Gershom, on the spot, says something interesting. First of all, this is the Ode Shemi'atzma Huvaru is very fascinating. What's the Ode Shemi'atzma Huvaru? What do you make of that?
Another
file?
Take away the
Tzikresha? Yeah. Or to take Tzikresha part away from the Melakshen Tzikha Lugufa. The Ode, number one is Patur, because Melakshen Tzikha Lugufa, the Ode Shemi'atzma Huvaru. Trying to make it into a Dabashen of Miskavi. Whether it is, it could be psikresha galonichale, but then it's in the skavet. But it sounds like the Rabbeinu Gershom is considering that this isn't only patur mitam malachshen tzichel, it's malachshen tzichel gufa, but ode me'atzmo huvara. Namely, it's in the skavet of some sort, with or without the psikresha. So that's very interesting, especially since this is, whether it is really Rabbeinu Gershom, it doesn't matter, but it's an early, again, it's a pre-Rashi, pre-Tosis perush. But the other part that's interesting is that his explanation of Lakshana Tzricha Lagufa obviously doesn't like Rashi, or the direction that Rashi is taking. So instead he says it's an issue of Kederach. It's not, Derach Kacholim is for the Eish, not for the Chol. Now it could be that all he means is that that's, therefore it's not a Shem Malacha. I mean, Shem Malacha is by the normal use, and that's... this now is Ein Tzricha L'Gufa because it's not consistent with the Shem Malacha as defined by Kederach and normal and Shalom Kederach. But it doesn't sound that way to Rabbi Gershom. It sounds like the relationship of Kederach and Shalom Kederach is direct, not a two-stage process. It's quite possible that Rabbi Gershom at least is opening up the possibility that Malach Shem Tzricha L'Gufa is Patur because it's Shalom Kederach. All Malach Shem Tzricha L'Gufas are Shalom Kederach, the normal usage of the Malacha. And not just the way of defining it, that's also the explanation of why it's Pater. That would be very important. In similar vein, we have a line in Tosin Shabbos on Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, where Tosin says, Tino Kneis V'kis Toli V'tzavaro, Potter, agav mirare mavtile lekis inami tinok chay utzarech lekis l'tayel bo tinok aval tinok meis matzarech lekis v'hava malach shem tzricha l'gufa potter shlo hotzi kederech hamotziyin. So again, this idea shlo kederech. Now again, if this tosis is consistent with other tosisin, and you want to put it under the Mishkan, rubric. So then you have to say Tosafot doesn't mean it. Tosafot means a two-stage process here. Tosafot means that in the Mishkan, or as defined by the Mishkan, such a hotzah is unusual, and therefore it's unusual. It's not consistent with the Mishkan. Mineila, it's melachshon tzricha legufa. But if this Tosas, again, the Tosas, the one who normally says the Mishkan idea is the Ri. I don't know that every single Tosas believes in it. It's quite possible you can have Tosas in here and there that reflect other traditions. Is it possible that Tosas here is saying that Melachshon Tzricha Legufa at least is defined by Ein Tzricha Legufa, by Eino Kedarko per se? And then could you take it a step further and say not only is it defined that way, but that's the Mechayev also. The problem is it's like Kalach Hayad, it's Shalom Kedara. That some Kalach Hayads are physical, and some Kalach Hayads are based on the unusual tachlis hamalacha. Yeah.
Also,
that Kedara can be defined by the Mishkan. Yeah, that's what I first said. I said it could be that the only if you were to plug this into the Ri and the other Tosas, then all it means is that this is inconsistent with the way that it's done in the Mishkan. And the Mela, the Shalom Kedara here isn't an objective statement. Shalom Kedara means relative to the structure and framework of the Mishkan. That's all it means. And that's understood because of the other Tosas, and then it's nothing. But it doesn't sound exactly that way in Tosas here in Kufna Vala from the base. At least logically, I think it's possible, whether Rabbi Gershom and Tosas mean it or not. And again, if you were there, another echo or two. Just like the Chashivos issue, I think that as a logical possibility, not only as a definition of Ein Tzricha Legufa, but as a Chisaron of Ein Tzricha Legufa, namely having it be subsumed under certain existing other categories like Chashivos. And Shalom Kederach could be an approach. Yeah.
So I guess I would imagine, even so, that everyone would agree that, even if you would agree that generally Kederach is Chazan, not Shoshana.
Right, that's why I'm pointing out that this is a little different than the normal Kederach. Because here the Kederach is not in the physical Maisa, it's in the intent.
The question is, would we extend the normal category of Kederach?
Exactly.
Kederach in the act or the purpose?
Right. That's why it's not obvious at all. But if that's what the Rishonim have in mind here, what they're saying is, yes, Kavanah L'Tachlis can be, Kavanah L'Tachlis Shalom Kederach can be an extension of Shalom Kederach. That's exactly the point that we're trying to make, 100%. Okay, so in terms of just to sum that up, so we have, the Mishkan per se, and then we have other objective ways of establishing that this is not simply the Shem Malacha, however defined. Let's say, according to the Arayim and Rashi and others, it isn't defined by the Mishkan, but there's something that determines, which components are critical and which are not. And then, in addition to that, I'm suggesting two other possible approaches to define and to explain the Chisaron of Ein Tzricha Legufa. One is Davar Sheino Chashuv, and the other is Davar Shelo Kederach. And there are at least Mekoros that fit with that view, or those views. I'm not sure 100% that that's what they're saying, but it's possible. Okay, getting back to the other issues, there's so much time, but let's go through some of the Rishonim and some of the Sugyas, and then whatever we don't finish today, finish at 2:30 today. We'll try to finish up tomorrow, and hopefully Thursday we can start already with the issue of Mekalkel. Okay. What we were doing is towards the very end on Thursday was Rashi. So to make it clear, I think that there are common features between the Rishonim in some cases. Positive, negative malacha might be one. But how they express themselves as what you focus on to determine what is a positive and a negative malacha, I think that's where you find differences. Very, very subtle differences in some cases, but differences nonetheless. And the point in Rashi was just to establish that Rashi, in a few places, emphasizes this, I'm coping with a bad situation perspective. This is not a desirable situation that I'm in. In some cases, that's all he emphasizes, but it's clear that that cannot be the single definition of Melachshon Tzricha Legufa, because the Bali Tosfos and Ramban and other Rishonim's questions against Rashi are just too strong for that. The fact that Rashi, in a couple of places, also emphasizes siluk malacha, in terms of the physical action, would seem to reinforce this idea that it's not only coping versus being in an ideal situation, that is at stake. But the question is, how do the two work together? So what I was suggesting is that, in theory, if you have both of these factors, you could say several things. But I think the best thing to say in Rashi, since in more places Rashi emphasizes the coping factor than he does the negative malacha factor, is that Rashi thinks that as long as the maisa that you perform reflects this coping, then malacha shen tzricha l'gufa is a negative malacha. In other words, let me make it clear, you might be coping. The question is, does the coping stamp the action that you're doing now? Are those two different issues? As I pointed out last week, on Thursday, like a chidush aram, ma'ida hava hava. Right? At what point do you say the past is the past, and let's look to the future? And the reality of the future is there's now an opportunity. Given this devastation, given this unhappy situation, we can now build something and do something positive. I might have preferred that we not be here. But we're here, let's make the best of it. Let's do something positive. History starts now. History didn't start yesterday. That's a legitimate question to ask. So I think the issue in Rashi is, what we're not going to say, what the Yishonim took from Rashi and from some of the other Yishonim was, whenever you would rather not be here, whenever you're coping, whenever something unpleasant brought you to the situation, history matters. I don't really mean to make this a general machlokas about history. I'm just dramatizing a little bit, but you understand what I mean. Meaning the background is always important. That's the way some Rishonim understood it. The background is always important. If you say the background is always important, you can also say that the ultimate telos is always important. Right? And you can be mechalik between these two things, but let's just take the two broadest views for the moment. Right? History is always important, and the future is always important. The telos, the destiny of why it is that we're doing this is very, very important. So if it's always important, and it's sufficient cause, and it colors everything, so then what you're going to get is that every coping is a malach shen tzricha l'gufa, and every marching towards some unhappy conclusion is going to be malach shen tzricha l'gufa. The first is what Rashi was accused of by the Ramban and by the Baalei Tosfos. The second is what the Meiri quotes in the name of some of the Mefarshim. Right, when he says that, V'zesh amr v'mar lach bar lo sofar davar b'chafira sadehu v'lafil lach bar b'kever l'meiz v'yesh kolkin. If you say that building or digging a grave is or carrying rather the object that you're going to use to dig, if you say that that's malach shen tzricha l'gufa, it means that you're giving wide significance to the future. That's what Meiri quotes again consistently. There is apparently this view in the Rishonim. This wide future view, right? That havaras psila l'shem sreifas bas kohen. That's going to be chayiv, and the Meiri himself says no, can't be. Chiyuv zeh lo hay ela mishum mevashal shehu malacha b'fnei atzmo. Harul inyan bisho ein kan kilkol. V'afal b'shu bishula balakalka bas kohen arezek ka'ofet pito kine lezar kol hayam. Ofa pita lazar kaliyam or metaltel, there could be a difference. It could be that one is not part of a particular process; it's just artificial. But you don't need to throw something in the river. Let's say you just happen to desire to do so. But let's say the only reason that you're being mevashel this psila is because you've got to take care of the problem of havaras paskoi. So the truth is that the Meiri's a mashal is imperfect. What the Meir is trying to highlight is, the future is just that. We shouldn't look very broadly. We should look at each process in its own right. That's what the Meir is saying. And other people said, no. We have a wider view. So both in the future and in the past, there are Rishonim who might have this wider view, and that would expand considerably Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. The only way to get out of it would be to say that some of the situations which a lot of Rishonim think are coping ones or you know, unhappy ones, ones that we're resigned to but we're not thrilled about, are not really so unhappy. They're part of life. You know, they're structured into things. So they're not Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa. But Lu Yitzuyar, right, that there's no toeles, there's only a negative to the kvura, to the sreifas pas kohen, to the mace, and so on. Then apparently there's a group of Rishonim, at least it's projected that there's a group of Rishonim who will say Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, but not Rashi. I don't think it's fair to say that for Rashi. So for Rashi, I think the issue then becomes to focus on when the coping cannot be separated from the present. And I think that in theory that could go, you know, in the past, could cut off the past, that it could also cut off the future. So for that, I think Rashi is telling us, again, just to use the Kiyusha Ran's example, we're not happy that the moths or the insects, whatever it is, that they ate away at my beautiful parokas. But my dahava, we've got to move on. Right? In the present, I have a, you know, 90% completed paroches, which I can do a little ariga or a little tefira with and make whole again. And that's a constructive act. So the point is I can cut off the past. The past doesn't have to haunt or define the future. The present, I should say. Now, is it possible that the future is more compelling than the past, or that the past is more compelling than the future? Could you say mar... Hotsas mar lachbor in one thing, and you know, mace, you know, sitting on my doorstep another? Absolutely, in either direction. So I think Simcha pointed out last time that the Chiddush Aran says that hotsas mar lachbor really is lachshem tzricha legufa, correct? Even though when it came to the cutting off of the past, the Dharna, the Ran says unequivocally that the past is the past, and the present is adjudged only by the potential in the here and now and in the future. Okay. One could say the opposite too, or one could say that it depends on each and every situation. I just gave the example. Levashel kene lizro klayom, if that's what happens to be my intention, but there may not be any tzirif between those two things. Especially, I don't have any obligation lizro klayom, so there's no reason to draw a big circle around the zrika layom and the afias hapas. That's different than, you know, have a body. It needs kvura. Al pidin, it needs kvura. And from every point of view, it needs kvura. And I have to, part of that process, given the present reality, is hotzas mar lachbar sakever. So maybe that's different. So there could be different conditions, a different perspective on the past and the future. Many, many chilukim could be made. I think Rashi's point is that in some cases it's clear that the shadow of the coping of the b'di'eved, you know, defines the present, and in other cases it's not. And sometimes the way that you go about doing the malacha itself is the decisive factor. So Rashi says, if it's a malacha siluk, the fact that it's a malacha siluk per se, maybe that wouldn't be malacha siluk. But you know, if your unhappiness, your coping, not just your unhappiness, fellow died, right, that we're all unhappy about, but you're also unhappy that he's at your doorstep, and that's reflected even in the malacha that you're doing, because a negative malacha, maybe not so negative to define malacha ein tzricha legufa as ein tzricha legufa in its own right. It could be that Rashi doesn't hold like this. For example, the Balei Tosfos say that hotzah is always l'shem, the positive use of the of or the positive new destiny of the object that you're carrying. We learn that from the Mishkan. That's the definition. It's quite possible that Rashi thinks that that's not correct. Per se, that doesn't have to be a definition of Hotzah. Very important for Hotzah. But since we have a coping background, and now that coping continues in the context of the Malacha, because it's Siluk, So the siluk of the malacha is mitzaref, the coping regarding the tachlis ha-malacha. I think that's a pshat in Rashi. And therefore, we look at it this way. We don't say, the past is the past. We're sorry he died. You'd rather not have a mace on your doorstep. Hava, let's move on. There's a mace at your doorstep. You have to move it. What are you going to do with it? Malacha shetzricha legufa. Rashi says no, because even in the actual malacha itself, the reason that we're moving it, or the way that we're moving it, is b'toras siluk, not b'toras getting it where we want it to go. We don't care that it ends up in the funeral parlor. We don't want it on our door on Shabbos. That's, I think, the point in Rashi. So it ends up, according to Rashi, it's negative malacha, a negative tachlis ha-malacha, or a negative malacha, even. But not the pe'ula, or the tzura of the malacha, per se, but where this negative orientation towards the malacha continues to be relevant, continues to be a factor. I know that's pretty subtle. If anybody has a question, they can ask, but that's what I think is going on in Rashi. And that, I think, should be contrasted with the Balamor. Balamor is the sort of, at least the first definition of Balamor, we discussed last time, is, you know, has half of Rashi, the Rashi at least of Tzadi Dalid, but I think because it's only half, the whole emphasis is different. For the Balamor, the issue is in the Maisa Malacha. Malacha Siluk V'Hadacha, the Havchana, it's in the pe'ula itself that makes it Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. Not that the pe'ula reinforces a general negative malacha. Moreover, as we just pointed out last time, for Rashi, malacha Ein Tzricha L'Gufa could be, always signifies a major flaw. That's part of what it is. Meaning, malachas mi malachas machsheves. Like Parshas Vayakha. Which means it has to be inherently constructive and positive. And Rashi will say anything that's negative is a lack of malachas machsheves. Whereas for the Balamor, malach she'in etzricha legufa just describes a certain reality. As for the impact of that reality, in 90% of the cases, it's negative, and in some of the cases, it's just par for the course. That's what the malacha is. So Zora and Borer are malach she'in etzricha legufa. If malach shein tzricha legufa means shalo kederech, or shalo bederech chashuv, right? Or it means a negative approach to the particular malacha, or a flawed approach, you know, something where a major component is lacking in the malacha, then you just can't say the words that the Balamor says, which is that Zora, Borer, malach shein tzricha legufa, b'chayiv anyway. So for the Balamor, it's descriptive of the type of malacha that it is, of the type of pe'ula that it is. Then, after that, we can ask, and where is a chisar, what kind of chisar it is. I don't know the answer to that. I can still say it's a major chisar. But not the words malacha and tzricha legufa at least don't signify major chisar. What do they signify? A tsuras ha-malacha that is negative, not positive. That's different than Rashi, even though it seems to overlap with Rashi. Now, I think Rashi is also different from the Ramban, though. Again, these are very subtle points. If you disagree, it's fine. The Ramban has a formulation. Yoni, you have it? On Tzadi Dalet? Anybody have the Ramban with them? Where he criticizes Rashi and those who, you know, who have the coping perspective. Go ahead. Yaakov, you have it? Again, say again. So it doesn't sound like, number one, and in the continuation later on, let's read it again, we had it read last time, it's where he criticizes the coping approach, right?
The
Kanto Anashim Harvey or something like that, right? Yeah. So again, so what impressions does it make on you, Yaakov, the Ramban? Is it like Rashi? It's certainly not like the Balamor. The focus is not at all on the Tzuras HaMalacha. Very, very radically different than the Balamor. Okay, and what about Rashi? Well, it's none of the Maisa Siluk at all. It's the focus of the Ramban is more on the Tachlis HaMalacha. Why are you doing that? On your personal Hanah. Do you have a positive motivation and positive objective? Or is it an ambitious objective, you could call it? Or is it a menias, haheze kara hatuma objective? Now again, let me make it clear. The overlap in these different shitos is really considerable. I'm aware of that. That's why it's a very, very subtle topic. The question is to try to do the best, to the best of our ability, to try to put our finger on what's being emphasized, not what's overlapping. Of course, I mean, there are 90% of the Malach Shem Tzvicha Legufa cases are agreed upon. Right? If they have several obvious features, so you have to fit those features into a theory. Whatever unified theory you have of Malach Shem Tzvicha Legufa, it has to fit. But are you going to emphasize, if there are five features, let's say, are you going to emphasize A, B, C, D, or E? Which are you going to emphasize, or which few are you going to emphasize, and work the others around and say the others are either extraneous and not important, or are symptomatic, they're mechazek, they reinforce. So what I'm saying is that the Ramban focuses on a positive objective, an ambitious objective, right, or a menias hara perspective for the Ramban. It's not the Maisa, and a lot of things fit in once you understand the Ramban this way. So again, it's not because the Maisa is Malacha Silo. It's true, you don't want it there, and it's menias hara. But what's interesting, again, he has menias atuma, right? Is one of the things that he mentions. Yeah, meaning it's not just, I'd rather not be at my doorstep. Which also, that's not the issue. The Ramban thinks that's too kofi, if one may say that. That's not the issue. The issue is that as a legitimate objective, it's a minimalist and negative one. It's a minimalist negative objective. Which is important here, because you don't want to become mistame. You don't want to get nizo. But that's what Malach HaShem Tzricha Legufa means for the Ramban. Now, whether or not this fits in with all of his other things, we'll have to get to that. He strongly doesn't like the Balamar. Okay, we'll go through maybe the point by point also. But he doesn't like the Balamar. It's not about the Tzuras HaMalacha, for sure. And for two reasons he doesn't like the Malamar. Number one, as I mentioned last time, in many of the cases, the Ramban has a different perspective on what the Chetz HaShel Malacha really is. And he doesn't agree that it is the Chia, the Siluk, the Havchana. But it's hard to know whether that's a separate point or the same point. In other words, the Ramban says that when it comes to a Bris Mila, it's not the Arla that's the Chetz, it's the body. When it comes to the Tilas Tziparnayim, or Seyar, or Gozes, whatever it is, it's not what you take away, it's the improvement that you make to what remains. The Ramban also happens to think, against the Rashi, that when you burn Eitzim, it's not the Eitzim that is the Chefza, it's the Eish. The question that I'm not sure about is that a separate point in the Ramban? Or is that itself driven by and connected with and consistent with this broader view of Malach Shem Tzricha Legufa? Malach Shem Tzricha Legufa isn't about the Maisa. And it's not about coping. It's about a positive tachlis as opposed to a minimalist, negative type tachlis. For that reason, we should take a wider view, says the Ramban, as to what is the chafetz shalom. Again, if you're looking like the Balamar at the Maisa, so you know, maybe that's another reason not to look at the after all. What do you really contact here specifically? And what is most dramatically affected by your behavior, by your conduct, by your action? The Orla, the Seyar, right? And so on and so forth. The Mace. You know, not the environment. This is what I'm not sure about. I mean, I think you could have disagreed with Balamor and Rashi on some of these points just by saying, who says that's the Chetza, this is the Chetza. But what I'm speculating about is whether or not there's a link between the two. The wider view you have of Lashon and Tzricha Legufa, and you don't focus on the objective or on this coping idea, but you're saying, is this an ambitious objective and a positive one, or is it a negative one and a limiting one? A damage control one, we'll call it. But not damage control in the coping sense. Not that I wish I wasn't in this situation. Let me make the best of it. But the actual tachlis is a damage control one. Minias tuma. Right, and so on. So I think that the broader your perspective on what the tachlis is going to be in Lashon Tzricha Legufa, the broader canvas you have in terms of what is a chafetz. It's not the Seyar, it's not the Orla. It's not even necessarily the Mace, it's the person, right? It's that area of the skin, it's the environment. I think these two things go hand in hand. I'm not sure. I think you could say them separately. In any case, I think we'll have to determine whether Ramban is fully consistent. That's a very different perspective on Malach Shem and Tzricha Legufa than the perspective of Rashi, as I'm formulating it, or the perspective of the Malamor. There are three completely different ideas here. Never mind Rashi, that everything just depends on the role of the Mishkan. Yeah.
Could you just define what you mean by positive and negative in the Ramban?
I mean, positive is something that is ambitious and goes beyond damage control. Minias tuma, or minias... Sorry?
Something creative?
I don't know that it necessarily has to be creative. I mean, that might be a requirement of Malacha in general. I don't know that Tzricha Legufa has to be creative. But I think it has to be positive and beneficial. Something that brings me something, not just saves me or limits damage. Why do you want to say creativity here? What, is there something compelling about it?
I'm trying to define what constitutes something that's not negative.
Well, I think the cases that he brings are very...
Specifically, what we said before in the jury. And that was also looking at the future in terms of the tapas. And...
No, I think what he was saying in the Meiri was about the larger purpose. It's not damage control in the Meiri. It might be coping, but it's not damage control. If I have a mace to bury, right? So, and I'm looking at the carrying of the mita, or the carrying of the mar. Right. So, from the Meiri point of view, we could stretch it. We don't have to, but that's what we're talking about: history. When does it end? You know, in the past, and when don't you have to look to the future? That's part of what we're discussing. But I could say that it's all part of one unhappy coping process. Right? But I don't think anybody can say that picking up a mar and bringing it to the place of the kura, or picking up a mita and bringing it to the base, no one's going to say that that's minias anything. From the Ramban, Ramban's saying the malacha that you're doing now, the tachlis of malacha that you're doing now, is that itself, is that minias davara? What is it doing positive? Yeah, it's just bringing the mitzvah brings something positive. It's coping, maybe, if you draw the big circle. Meaning it's part of a process of something that I'm very unhappy about. I there's no smile on my face, right? And there are tears, you know, staining my face as I'm involved in this whole process. Very sad.
Objectively,
but that has nothing to do with whether or not the the actual pa'ula, malacha that I'm doing, right, is the malacha that I'm doing now isn't damage control. The chutzah isn't damage control. The marlach part, right? The chutzah sabita. That's not damage control. The kvura might be damage control. Getting the body away from my house might be damage control. Making sure that the ziba is in the kiss, that's damage control as a malacha. Those are damage control malachas. They're not good. They're not positive. They don't benefit me. They benefit me only by limiting or containing damage or preventing me from a davar ra. Right? I agree. It's subtle, but it's very different. Right. So far, lo harei Rashi kare balamor, even though there's an overlap. Lo harei Rashi kare the Ramban, even though there's an overlap. In a way. But it's different. And that's why the Ramban attacks Rashi. And of course, these three are not at all like Bali Tosis, for whom everything is just the Mishkan. They're not like the Kedarko perspective, if it is a legitimate perspective, or the Kashibos perspective.
Yeah. Would it be more inclined to say that the definition of the Ramban from Lashon Tzricha Gufa would be probably more like the Balamor? I thought it would be more like the Balamor, based on what Rebbe said, in terms of its severity. It's not like Rashi, that it's a sweeping title of the definition of the Malacha. Right. Malacha is negative.
I think it's not like the Balamor. I mean, according to the Balamor, the circuit. Oh, I see. No.
It doesn't have the exceptions like the Balamor would
right,
have.
Right.
But it doesn't have the title like Rashi.
Right. Okay. And so it's somewhere in between. In that sense. Okay. That's fair enough to say. Now, again, both Rashi and Ramban have byproduct Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufas. Which seems to be problematic, but again, if we take a broader view of what they're saying, is it really so problematic? Again, Kedera, you're Mavashal, Mavir Eitzim, Bishvila Kedera. Right. So in a way, the point is, there's no coping in that. Right. But Rashi says, or Chofer Boar, Well, I have to see exactly inside what they say, but the point is that at least for Rashi, that's what I call a byproduct of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. You are interested in doing the malacha, but you're not interested in the malacha for its own sake. You're interested in the malacha for something else that it gives you. So it isn't coping, but what it has in common for Rashi is it makes the malacha isn't for itself. It's not ambitious, it's not positive. I'm not doing this malacha because I want this malacha. I'm doing this malacha because I want the byproduct of the malacha. That stamps it as a negative malacha for Rashi. The cases of mace and the case of kachasal aner and so on are cases where I'm interested in the malacha directly, not as a byproduct, and therefore the coping and the siluk and all of that becomes very, very important. But any time I'm not interested in the malacha per se at all, it's almost on the border of inner miskaven, then of course it's ain't tzricha l'gufa, because I have no positive interest in the malacha. Okay. Anyways, so far we have at least a fledgling effort at Rashi, Ramban different, Rambalamor different, Bali Tosis different. Let me mention a few others. Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon. Ellie, what do you think about Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon? Didn't see yet? The one on your base? Ellie? Rogamo? Did you see it?
Very bright.
Again?
It's more than you have benefit from making it up.
Yeah, so what do you make of it? You're correct. Meaning? You said broad, right?
Yeah, he's broadly viewed.
Very broadly viewed, meaning he seems to be constricting Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa significantly. In what case? Even what case is Malacha Shetzrich Lagufa striking? Yeah, Briach Ra. Yeah, quotes in the name of Rabbi Gaon. Do you have it there in front of you? Okay, did you get it? So what do you make? How did you understand it? Anything that is l'shem achila v'hanah sagabra, right, is tzricha l'gufa. Even reich ra, if you can't abide it, right, you're a mefunak, whatever it is, you just can't take this smell. That too would be in the category of tzricha l'gufa. Sorry. Okay, but read it if you don't mind. You base them out. Clear, a little bit of a mix of where people can hear. Go ahead.
Well, those that create smaka shin shuka lupa, shin tata shon is a nisa rua, this time of yellow shuka, the apple, all amo is ma, and the area for up. After shun go dash and see a high path as nation goes a shot, not to smaka shin shuka lupa.
And that's the end. And how does he characterize it earlier? Well, like you said, that's the conclusion. That's the name of Haigon, right? What? A couple of lines earlier, like six, seven lines earlier.
Yeah.
What?
I just heard it was.
Well, you just heard it was from the beginning? No. The Reich Rai brings in towards the end of the piece. No? 1 second. Harav Yudah Domar Lachshim Shikadigul Pachayiv Alei? Harav Shimon? Aval ikar dvar shob shiva mishnah perka matzniyah. Isn't that the beginning? Okay, kazayis from the mesa, kazayis from the other day. Go ahead. The zos ha'utzah, give it a start from the second line, the second of the wide lines.
The zos ha'utzah, malaka, shenshriko kuki, yitzesho, kikyam, yashuk, 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 yashuk,
yeah. That's the so the important thing, the first thing is that how does he formulate it? To be tzricha l'gufa, it has to be letzorech achila v'letzorech hana'a. Okay, and then he says reich ra is including that as well, and then in the end of the piece. He says, by the way, this is a Reach Ra thing, right? It's based on Rav Haigon. The Kasav Adoneinu Hai, Zal, right? Kasav Adoneinu Hai, the Hani Vili de Kasvin be Hilchus Rabasa, the Basa Rabbanan Savaroi, Perishula, and so on, the other second squeezes. Motzim esameis, hani mili delay slay reyach, yislay reyach, nimtas halsasa machal shetzricha legufa. Nilsa homil, nilsa siyata betalmen eretz yisrael, nilsa mukhay, ad hena divrei gaon. Ani yanti betalmen eretz yisrael, v'kasavti min halacha, and so on. This is a tremendous chiddush, that basically, hotzah esameis, if it's saruach, that you would be chayiv mishum shalakash tzricha legufa. Most of the Rishonim think it's wrong. According to most of the Rishonim, if it's malacha siluk, Eli, is it should be correct or not? If lashen tzricha legufa is based on siluk, of course it's in tzricha legufa. I think it's even more in tzricha legufa. You don't want the reyach ra in your neighbor's yard, right? You're not mean and cruel and vicious. Not a bad neighbor. You just don't want it in your yard. In the chasiluk, right? Gadol mizeh. The Baal HaMor has an exception, one exception in the piece. Namely, Ellie, about Reach Ra. Which is interesting also in a way. What's the exception, Shlomo? Where would Reach Ra be chayim? Moshe Shonim assume that Reach Ra, Hotzos Reach Ra, is a classic Malach Shonim Tzvi Chalagufa. So this Rebbeinu Gershon is so important. What's the exception? In the Baal HaMor, did you see the Baal HaMor? Aaron Kubav? Same one? Aaron? Excellent. Derek Rafua. He says, if it's Derek Rafua, that's a different matter. That's interesting. Because one would have thought, either way, it's a Maisa Tzilo. Right, but you could argue, I'm talking about the Baal HaMor, but if you could argue that, you know, it's therapeutic. Yeah.
When's the Baal HaMor? You're removing Reach Ra or you're bringing in Reach Ra?
Oh, that's, you think that's the case of bringing in Reach Ra?
Because the price of Reach Ra is on the Tzad, it's in the Sugya of Hotzah, which is the Shos. So all those Gemara are bad things that people need that they're bringing into Rosh Hashos to be able to use them.
So you think that he may be referring to that?
Right, and Rashi says on that Sugya, Reach Ra Shem Ashtim Bahem Cholim B'tinokos. So that implies that they actually are using it.
Oh, okay. I mean, he uses it. I mean, it's not to get rid of the illness.
Right.
Okay, that's a different case entirely. Yeah.
The only problem is that he quotes from Nisengon and the Taiwan's disagreeing with it. So
right. And they're clearly talking about the opposite case.
There's no question, so it's a force on direction.
Yeah. That's probably what went through, but you may be right. It's just in the Mark of the Gemara. I'll look at it again. Most of Shonim, though, definitely hold that getting rid of Reach Ra is Makashen Tzvicha Ligufa. So what's going on with Rabbeinu Nisengon? So as you said, it's broad. You have to go back to the first formulation. Tzricha legufa means l'shem hana'aso or l'shem achivaso. Let's say he doesn't have this idea of minias, this idea of the Ramban, or partially of Rashi. You know, hasar, again, or Baal HaMor, hasara, dechia, siluk, or minias, tuma, right, or coping. Right, none of these definitions can apply to Rabbeinu Nisengon, because otherwise Reach Ra would be Malach HaShem Tzricha Legufa par excellence in all these cases. You can't imagine more a more clear-cut case of Malach HaShem Tzricha Legufa. So what is Malach HaShem Tzricha Legufa according to Rabbeinu Nisengon? Yeah?
In Rabbeinu Nisengon, the cases that those other Rishonim discussed, they call it Malach HaSiluk because they're looking from the perspective of the group of the Malacha itself.
Right.
So if you just look at the Hotzah, then the reason you're doing Hotzah is if you want to get rid of something. But if you broaden the range of what you're looking at, so you're looking at, you know, the effects of the Malacha also, it's like naturally you wouldn't think to look at because it's just the group of the Malacha, but...
That's part of what we're trying to point out in Rabbeinu Nisengon. He is looking at wide and wide.
But then it might not really be siluk anymore. I mean, if you broaden your perspective enough.
Well, it's still siluk. I just that it doesn't matter that it's siluk because he doesn't. It's not the malacha. It's not the physical tzura samalacha that he cares about. What I'm trying to show is different rishonim, whether they're consistent or not, I don't know. But at least in different places, seem to be offering quite different definitions of malacha and tzricha. Some focusing on the maisa, some focusing on the tachlis, but positive, negative, in the sense of, you know, damage control versus ambition, and so on. And it seems like Rav Nisengon, I would say, is focusing on the gavra. Sorach hagavra, anything that's sorach hagavra. But sorach doesn't mean, as opposed to, you know, minias, hezek, it means as opposed to something that you're indifferent about. Or that isn't, it doesn't accomplish, you know, as intensely, let's say, as it's an intensity issue. So a significant Sorach HaGavra.
Right. You know, like, it could be that there's two different questions. Like, one question is, what you're trying to identify as being Sorach.
Right.
And that could be either the group of the Malacha or like Rabbeinu Nisim is talking about all the Hashlachot of the Malacha.
Right.
And then like the other one, like what is Sorach Malach Sorach mean? And that has to do with Sorach.
But what do you gain by putting? I'm not, maybe I'm not following you. But
maybe
What do you gain by putting by imposing siluk? There's no Gemara that says siluk. So what do you gain by imposing that on a Rinanisa?
Well, just because I'm not sure if he was addressing.
If a guy doesn't really care, there's a reach ra there. This is what he seems to be saying. There's a reach ra. You don't like it. Okay. If you're really unhappy, but you know you can live with it. So that's malacha shenit zricha legufa. And if it really bothers you, and I don't mean you can't live with it, but it really, really bothers you, with a certain intensity of affecting your quality of life, so then it becomes zricha legufa. So does it become less siluk at some point? Does it become less negative? If anything, it becomes more negative, in a way. But it becomes more urgent, and in terms of your own personal, reality or self-perception, whatever it is, it becomes tricha legufa for you at a certain point. That does change. The subjective element seems to be what drives. That's why I think it's also interesting how he formulates it originally. Tricha legufa means tzorech hanoa v'achila. What do you mean hanoa? What do I mean hanoa v'achila? Come into Melach Shani tricha legufa, frankly. Means it's something that you want.
So I'm saying he might not necessarily be denying siluk. He's just saying because he broadened the perspective, so
it sometimes may express itself in siluk. I agree. That's what I was saying before. The tricky thing about the sugya is you cannot move an inch without overlapping, because a lot of the cases are muskam. So I wouldn't say that siluk never plays a role. But it won't be siluk for siluk's sake. For the Balamor, it's siluk for siluk's sake. It's a malacha siluk v'hadacha. Right? And for Ravina Gershom, from what I'm seeing here, the impression is it wouldn't be siluk for siluk's sake. It would be siluk as, it's not something that he cares so much about. He doesn't really have a positive concern here. But positive and negative here doesn't mean what it means for the Ramban. Although some of the Ramban or Rashi type cases may overlap, it meaning I'd rather this not be here. That's different than I want it. Understand what I'm saying? Or some coping cases also. It's not that I want it. I'm just making it's a parva kind of a. It's a diluted passion or tzorech. It's the intensity of tzorech hagavra, I would say. That's at stake. Now, normally negative things have that lukewarm, diluted, staff. But if it's something's really, really negative, that's the twist in Rebbeinu Nisim. Something becomes really negative, becomes intolerable. Then aim the chatzorech God only that as a tzorech. It's a sheer in tzorech, not tzorech legufa. Meaning for the other rishonim, that's I think is so fascinating. The words tzorech and gufa and legufa mean different things. For the Rebbeinu Nisim Gaon, the legufa part is unimportant. It's the tzorech part. How tzorech is it? To your guf, meaning to the gavra. Well, the word guf for him doesn't mean the malacha or the tachlis of malacha. It means shir hatzorech legufa legavra. Yeah, sorry.
His might not be in terms of what tzorech is and whether or not you need siluk or not siluk, but right. More in terms of redefining gufa as not just the malacha itself, but everything that the malacha causes.
Tzorech
hagavra. Your relationship to the malacha.
Yeah, tzorech hagavra. Yitachsut hagavra, whatever you want to call it. It'll overlap. But as I say, that's not the mechayim. That's the point, as I see it. Because otherwise, it gets worse. It doesn't get better. But the tzorech jumps from if I want something because I want it, even though I don't need it, but I want it. That's always a tzorech haguf. But if I want something because I'd rather it be that way than the other way, that's ein tzorech legufa. But if it becomes an obsession with me or because of my nature, that negative just becomes so compelling, so then it becomes a tzorech again. It's tzorech hagavra, I think. That's what malach shenit zricha legufa is, according to yeah.
Does that mean that Tosfos and Rambam go on the same literal definition of?
But I don't think so, because Ritosis, again, it's still defined by the Mishkan. It's not defined objectively by Tzorech HaGavra. Each Malacha, you'll have to go to the Mishkan and see, is it positive? Maybe for this it's positive and negative. Moses has, in theory at least, unlimited flexibility. In terms of the technical definition, sorach legufa means sorach legufa malacha kefi shehu mugdar kefi mugdarat b'mishkan. That's what the word sorach legufa means. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Nissim, if we're correct, it means tzarech legavra. Now, will there be overlaps in cases? Yes. But the point is that in Tosis, in theory, you have the unlimited flexibility to say, you know what? Hotzah is about siluk versus getting it to where you want it to go. Memachek is about, you know, positive. I'm making this up, not the hotzah part, but positive versus negative. Some other malacha could be about you know, byproduct versus, you understand what I mean? Because it all goes back to, and what was this, what defined this malacha? What was the ikar v'shoresh malacha zu b'mishkan? Real tzorach l'gufa means, kifi shahay b'mishkan, because that's magdir, shorasha, right? V'ikara, for Tosis. That's not true for Rashi. For Rashi, it's positive and negative, but positive and negative, you know, according to certain criteria. That's tzorach legufa means a positive malacha, a negative malacha. Ramban, it's also positive and negative, but they're very different ways. Damage control versus the ambition, let's say. And for Balamor, it's about the maisa malacha. And for Ben Nissim Gon, it's about tzorach agava. Okay. The thing to do, again, I don't know whether our conclusions are correct, but the, you know, because there, you have to methodologically be aware of the fact that there is so much overlap, that there are so many cases. The thing to really try to do is figure out which case is the you know the quintessential lakshen tzricha legufa for a particular rishon, or which argument, which issue, you know, is the one that stands out that really characterizes the malacha or the concept for him. And for Rabbi Nissengon, it's the formulation, but we might not have gotten it with the formulation alone. But the extension to Reach Ra is the makom patish. Just as for the Balamor, it's admitting that there could be an Ein Tzricha Legufa which you're chayav for is critical. For Rashi, it's the overemphasis of the coping, even though clearly he requires more, because that's the mechayim, and the rest is just where you draw the line, and so on and so forth. Each Rishon you have to. Let me just contrast the, in a way, contrast the. But at least I'm going with the Ritva. The Ritva, I don't think I gave this to you, but the Ritva and Kuf Gimel and Shabbos. The Ritva and Kuf Gimel and Shabbos. Discussing the problem of Ara Dechavrei. Now, how did Bali Tosfos understand Ara Dechavrei? David?
Against the Ara.
Against the Ara, 100%, correct. That what? If the guy is Zareya of Ara Dechavrei, that's, the Gemara says that that's Potur. Right? And why? Why according to Tosis? Not like the Aruch, the opposite of the Aruch. Why? Even though it's Dabar HaMiskabin, because it's a Gresha, but Lo Nichalei makes it. Lo Nichalei Tzricha Legufa. So Ara Dechavrei ends up being an example. Again, it's not only the examples that we have in the Sugyas, which is, would be, there are plenty enough of those, you know, 10 Gemaras, but it's, you know, 10 other Gemaras that, you know, maybe are, maybe aren't, according to different Rishonim. Okay, so Ara Dechavrei. So on that Gemara, and why is Ara Dechavrei in Lakshin and Tzricha Legufa, would you say? Because he's not interested in it for himself, right? He doesn't benefit from it. So he doesn't do the malacha l'shem tachlita, which is, you know, the spurring of growth, because he doesn't care about the growth. Okay. So what's interesting is, now, if you held like Rabbeinu Nissengo, I'm going to say that. So Rabbeinu Nissengo may think that the case there of the situation of l'nichalei is Zeinu Meskaveni, maybe even more. I'm focusing on at the moment. But if you did something, you did a full malacha with the tsuras hamalacha that was positive in every way, but you did it with tzorech, but you did it, you know, loich basleh. You did it with the ara dechavrei. I think Rabbeinu Nissengon would always tell you that that's the malacha and tzricha legufa, for sure. He would agree with the Bali Tosis 100%. Right? Now, the Bali Tosis don't necessarily think that what makes it in tzricha legufa is the fact that it's not for you, it's for your friend, or it's not enough for you. But for them, it's because you're not doing it for growth, because it's not your growth. Correct? Anyways, it's just interesting to note the following. The Ritva on Chuf Gimel quotes the Aruch. And A quotes the Aruch a little bit, if you're Medayik, not sure. Think a little bit like the Rajba. Meaning it's the other way. Sigresha the Nicha is the Chiddush. Sigresha, and it's still ain't a miskavet. Like we said the Rashba. Okay. Then he says, you know, at one point he says, you know, this Aruch, the difference between Sigresha and the Nicha, Lo Nicha, he says, I don't really understand it well. Right? It says, he's challenging Sigresha Lanicha Mutter. The Tamid, the Talmud, the Mutter of Shim Sigresha Velayamas, and Mishum the Kiva de la Sagi de la Sabin Malachari, Kiva Niskabe. Umalachas Machshevas. He's saying it seems like the Sigresha is really a Dabra Niskabe, the opposite of the way he previously formulated it. They says, Vim came, Mali Nicha, Mali no Nicha. Then he adds, "V'leikel meimar dechilo nichalei havam lachshin etzricha legufa," which is what Tosas says, as David pointed out. Right, that's Tosas's answer. The answer is, "You're right. It is a davar mitzkave, but it's etzricha legufa." So the Ritva says, "No, shezev vaday etzricha hi legufa. De yipui karka gamar ruschita gamura. Ela shehu eino tzarechla." So this is interesting. Meaning, in a way. Obviously, he doesn't accept the, you know, Tosas' definition of Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. You know, you didn't do it for the growth. What he's saying is, or he's arguing in the case, you did it for the growth, just that you're not interested in it. Meaning, what's the chisaron of Ar Dechavrei? I mean to contrast this with Rabbi Simgon as an opposite. Meaning, there's no tzarach hagavra. What's the problem? You see my dad.
I'm just trying to understand.
If you're unhappy, I'm unhappy. Okay. Basically, what he's denying Tosis' claim that Ba'ara de Chavrei is Malach Hashem and Tzricha Legufa. Shezavadai Tzricha Legufa v'yipui karka gomor u'schita gemura, min schita almanas la'aved, schita gemura, elishu eina tzorechla. V'chein, im chorash de dehemos Sada Achas, Velon Eskavne Liga Behemosav, Eliagea Behemosav. Let's say he's a sadist, or he believes that, you know, hard work for animals builds animal character. Okay, so he really works the team, okay, on the farm. Okay, he works them really hard. But he's not interested in the plowing, it's just a character lesson. Okay? Some people call him a sadist. In other words, people say that he really cares. Right. Either way. So, Kalumi hei patur? Vi lavdim stapinim ravosa. Then he comes up with an amazing thing. He says, the psikresha de la nichale, we should add this to our psikresha de la nichale list, actually. Psikresha de la nichale says, if it wasn't for our, the fact that I was afraid of my rabbeim, you know, you should always be afraid of your rabbeim. He said, what I would say is as follows. Psikresha l'nichalei mutter, only in cases where, to begin with, the malacha is like hanging by a thread. Meaning, this is barely a malacha. He says, ipui karka, let's say. So, you know, you do a little ipui karka and a little teeny piece of karka, that's zareya. It's barely significant. The only thing that makes it Zoreya, Havimina Shalomru came to Talmud, the Chiloch Pasashar, Rab Shim, Nella Badavar Shemachmas Atma, and a Chosh of Maiso Malacha. Vishim Hochi Kalecha de lo Ichbas, a Chosh of the Mahuso, Shemba Malacha of the Maiso Chosh. Meaning, basically, it's like this. And say, this Malacha is hanging by a thread. You can do a little teeny piece of little, you know, pour a little water on the ground, that's Zoreya. So what makes it Zoreya is the fact that it's Achshabe, that you give it Chashivas. If you're not interested in it, then it's no longer Zoreya. So all psikreshet lo nichaleis are basically mufka mishem malacha, because it was only the nicha, and that if the cases are all cases where only the nicha pushed it over the edge, And if it's lo nicha, so it doesn't get over the edge, that's why you're potter. There's no shame malacha. That's a big chiddush in malachas, right? In the shiurim of malachas, and in the role of action. Okay, fine. But what drove him to this is he didn't like tosis. He didn't like the aruch. He didn't like tosis. Why did he like tosis? Again, you want to tire out the animals. So I think the Ben Nissim Gaon would tell you, if you did harisha, tire out your animals, or you poured water in the other fellow's field, that would really be malacha shein tzricha legufa. Absolutely, it would certainly be malacha shein tzricha legufa. Because it's no tzarach hagavra. The ritva here seems to be saying tzarach hagavra isn't important in tzricha legufa. The question is from the chafta shel malacha point of view. Is it a chafta shel malacha? Is it a malachas yipui? Is it a malachas harisha? Not what your subjective objective is, right? Purpose. But what is happening here? So the Ritva says what's happening here is yipui until he changed his mind because of the question. But basically, we thought it's yipui karka, it's harisha. It's the chetzah shomala, the objective of the maisa. Not whether you want it, whether you're interested in it, why you're doing it. What is the chetzah shomalacha's objective? Or how is it defined? Only in one way. Yipui karka. So the Ritva says that's malacha tzricha legufa. What's ain tzricha legufa? Apparently when the malacha itself reflects a different purpose. But just not being interested in it, begavra, never undermines tzricha legufa. And that's an extreme, I think. Again, clearly, Bali Tosfos and others disagree with him about these cases. But do they disagree with him about these cases because they say that Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon's factor is also true? Just it's not the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon is a double chiddush. Number one, is defining the tzarach hagavra. Number two, in terms of lekula, the patur. Number two, lechiyuv as well. Namely, you can have a big malachas tziluk and whatever, but if it turns into a tzarach hagavra, you're a chayiv. So you can disagree with the second point. Doesn't mean you have to disagree with the first point. Maybe you always also need tzarach hagavra. The Ara de Chavrei, or the Yageya, as a Shvarim, that's always a lack of Tzorach HaGavra. Or no, maybe they think that you don't need Tzorach HaGavra either, but right, the point here is that the problem isn't only Tzorach HaGavra, the problem is that he's really not interested in the Yipui at all. Not that he's not interested in the Yipui. He doesn't do it l'shem Yipui. He's, you know, throwing the, you know, he's doing something which physically causes that, but that's not why he's doing it, it's not what he's doing either. Okay. But either way, the formulations of the Ritva and the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon represent a sharp contrast. Maybe for that reason, Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon we'll leave that for otherwise. Okay. On the other hand, the other perspective which we haven't pursued is the chetzah perspective. Namely, he's interested not sorach hagavra, but sorach, not chetzah shel malacha, I don't mean. Sorach ha-chetzah. The chetzah that you do the malacha on. That's the final perspective. And that, of course, is the view of, however defined, we'll pick up with this tomorrow. The Tosfos Rid. And the second track of the Urayim. Oh, we'll get to Ramban also, but there might be byproducts. But, again, there's going to be overlap, because sometimes when you're not interested in the Chafza, it's another way of saying that you're interested in this action as a means to some other end, not for the action. You're not interested in this process itself, this is just a prelude or serving some other function. It's not that, per se, you have to focus on the Chafza, but for the Urayim, possibly, and for Tosfos Rid, Malacha Shetzricha Ligufa doesn't mean Gufa is Chetzah Shel Malacha, like Mitzvah, doesn't mean Gabra, it means the Guf that you do the Malacha on. And then, of course, comes a secondary question, how do you define that? Right? And for Tosfos Rid, that's particularly, Tosfos Rid says, discuss the question. What about Shechita and Hivhul v'Hapsila? What is a chefza in a malach? Is dam and or and basar, are they the chefza? Are they the gufa? If you're interested in the gufa, then you're chayiv. Okay, we'll pick up with these two and then see a lot of the other pratim. Hopefully we'll finish up tomorrow.